Acts, chapter 28. Book of Acts, chapter 28. I'd like to read the first six verses. Acts 28, verses 1 through verse 6. When they were escaped, and they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In Acts chapter 21, we see that Paul is arrested. He would later stand trial before the Jews. He would stand trial before the Sanhedrin. He would stand trial before Felix, who was an officer in the Roman Empire. He would stand trial before Festus, who was simply a successor of Felix. And he would eventually stand trial before Agrippa, the king. He is declared innocent by Festus. He is declared innocent by Agrippa. And he is sent to Rome. The reason he is sent to Rome is because Paul had appealed to Caesar. And the background of what we read in our text goes back to what we read, of course, in Acts chapter 27, which is the account of the voyage from Caesarea to Rome, which was the capital city of the Roman Empire. And we read there in Acts chapter 27 that there were 276 people aboard this ship going to Rome. We see that in verse 37 of chapter 37. And en route to Rome, there was, of course, a very violent storm which resulted in the total wreckage of the ship. But all the passengers escaped safe to land. In Acts chapter 27, verse 41, we see, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." In verse 44, "And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, and it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." And that brings us to Acts chapter 28. We see that they're soaked to the bone, they're cold, they're weary. No doubt they are anxious. They find themselves on an island called Melita, which of course was just a small dot in comparison to the very large sea. And no doubt when they arrived upon that island, they had some concern about how they would be received, how they would be treated by the islanders. We read in verse 2 of the treatment they received, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." So these islanders comforted them, sought to give them aid. They're referred to as barbarous. That doesn't mean that they were uncivilized. What it simply means is they did not speak Greek, and they were of a different culture of those who were on board this ship. So the picture we see in our mind is pieces of wreckage strewn all over. 276 people shivering in the downpour of rain, chilled to the bone by exposure. It was at this time that the people of Melita kindled a fire, very quick to offer aid and comfort to Paul. Paul and the others, all 276 of them, they're comforting each of these individuals. Paul pitches in to gather some wood. He's casting the wood into the flames to keep the fire going. And a snake comes out of the wood and fastens itself on the hand of Paul. We see in verse 3. We read in verse 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So I want to take the main thought of the message from those verses. I want to speak this morning on the subject of shaking off the vipers. Shaking off the vipers. You know, I grew up hearing the phrase, shake it off. I'm not kidding you. You could have a bone sticking out of your arm, and people would say, shake it off, shake it off. My dad, you'd be crying, quit your crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I mean, a bone could be sticking out of your arm. Didn't matter, but shake it off, shake it off. And there is some truth there, spiritually as well. There are some things that we obviously need to shake off. We want to consider some lessons, first of all, that we learn from this passage. And then we want to consider shaking off the vipers. But first of all, there are some lessons here about trials. Paul had been beaten. He had been sent to Rome. Along the way, he had experienced a terrible storm and eventual shipwreck. He kept on paddling and made it to shore along with the other 275. He made it safely to land. These people, strangers, come out. They build the fire. They show them very comforting hospitality. Things were starting to look up. And then all of a sudden, a poisonous viper latches onto the hand of Paul. He simply went from one problem to another. He had experienced the wreck. He had experienced the crash. And many people like that, you can experience a wreck, a financial wreck, a family wreck, a marriage wreck, on and on we could go. And you keep on paddling through the wreck and you make it to shore, and just when things are starting to look up, you're trying to just keep the fire burning, and right when things are starting to look up without any warning, something happens. Happens very suddenly, and immediately there is a very serious crisis. And this is what happened to Paul. In the case of Paul, again, he had been shipwrecked. And now, he's snake bitten. When it rains, it pours. And that was the experience of Paul. Sometimes it's one trial after another. Sometimes it's one trial upon another. The Bible teaches us very clearly, and we know from experience, that we as children of God are not exempt from trials. We're not exempt from trouble. We're not exempt from difficulty. We're not exempt from problems. We're not exempt from inconvenience. We're not exempt from grief. We're not exempt from affliction. Jesus told his people in John 16 and 33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We read in Acts 14 and verse 22 that you must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, behold, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. That is, it is not an odd thing. It is not a strange thing for God's people to experience trial. It is not a strange thing. It's not out of the ordinary thing for God's people to experience troubles and difficulties and problems and inconveniences and griefs and affliction. Nor is it an oddity that these follow one after another. Nor is it an oddity that these things just pile up one on top of the other. We learn from these experiences of Paul that the child of God does not have to be defeated by the trials of life. He wasn't defeated when he was arrested. He wasn't defeated when he was beaten. He wasn't defeated when he stood trial. He wasn't defeated when he went through the storm. He wasn't defeated when the ship finally wrecked and he swam to, and eventually was able to swim to the island, and now a snake latches onto his hand. We see that Paul just kept on going. He wasn't defeated. He wasn't hindered. We also learned some lessons here about people. When the viper fastened on his hand. Notice verse 4. Now when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, that is, they began to whisper amongst themselves, they began to talk amongst themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth or permitteth not to live. Paul has been snake bit. The people around him at this point are not trying to help him. But instead, they're talking about him. And they say, he must have had it coming. He must have done something terrible. He must be a murderer. This is why, though he escaped the sea, God is a just God and God is not going to allow him to escape. He's a murderer. They began to jump to conclusions. And they were very, very quick to judge why this happened. And I promise you that if something happens to you, there will be some, if they will be talking amongst themselves and they'll say, well, you know, there's probably sin in his life. You know, God's probably punishing him. And that's immediately where their mind goes. Look at Job's three friends, same thing. That's the way people are. They're just the way they are. And notice in verse 6, after Paul shook the viper into the fire, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down suddenly. In other words, these islanders had seen others bit by the same kind of snake. And every time it happened, the bitten one would swell up and then fall down dead. So what did these islanders do? They stood there and they watched. They stood there and they anticipated and they waited for Paul to swell up and die. That's the way people are. I guarantee you there are people that are anticipating and they are waiting your downfall. They're looking for you to break down. there. I mean, go to the funeral home, and you ask somebody, well, how was it? What do they mean? Say, oh, so and so was. They were basket case. That's me. What they say? She took it so hard, and just on and on they go. What they got? They went there looking for that. They're looking for see how are people going to react. And that's their concern. How is this person going to react? What effect is it going to have upon them? And they just sit back and they watch. And that's what was happening here with Paul. There are people watching. There are people anticipating your fall. There are people anticipating your breakdown and defeat. They are just watching how you will react in a time of crisis, in a time of trial, in a time of trouble, in a time of difficulty, in a time of problems. There are people watching. How will they react now? How will they react? Oh, Brother Dan, he's preached all these years. Oh, let's see how he reacts now. And that's the way people are. Not saying everybody, but as a whole, that's human nature. That's the way we are. So we need to always remember there are those watching to see how we Christians are going to react to the venom. Will we swell? Will we swell with anger? Will we shiver in fear? Will we sit down in self-pity? Or will we, like Paul, by the strength and power of the one who indwells within us, shake it off and keep moving? Here's the way I picture it. They're all standing around the fire. Paul throws the wood into the fire. The viper latches on. Paul shakes it off. He doesn't shake it off and back up. He just shakes it off and stands there and just goes on. Just as calm. And the people are amazed. And they're looking. This man should start to swell pretty soon. And it's not going to be long. He's going to fall down dead. But we read when that didn't happen, what happened? They changed their minds. And they began to think, he's a god. In other words, they thought he was an extraordinary being. And really, I'm not saying the world should look at us as God, certainly not. But the way we react to a crisis, they ought to look at us and think, boy, he should have swollen and fallen down dead. But he didn't. There's something amazing here. And they changed their minds. People are watching. There's nothing you can do to prevent that. People are going to jump to some wrong conclusions. But by the way you react, a lot of people might change their minds. And this is a lesson we learn here. So let's get to the main point of shaking off the vipers. Paul's gathering the wood for the fire. He's doing so to help keep the fire burning, which of course would be of help in comforting the others. In other words, Paul is serving. He's doing a good thing. When all of a sudden, without any warning whatsoever, a venomous viper quickly and directly strikes, latching on to the hand of Paul. Venom is an immobilizing substance. It is toxic. It is deadly saliva. We are told that there are two general types of toxins in venom. There are neurotoxins, and they attack the central nervous system, immediately resulting in breathing problems and eventually heart failure. There are hemotoxins that attack the circulatory system, the muscle tissue, causing disuse of the motor skills, having a crippling and paralyzing effect upon the individual. Some snakes have both types of toxins in their venom. But whatever kind of snake this was, these kind of snakes had bitten people in the past, and the one bitten always swelled up and fell dead. This was a very venomous snake. Venomous vipers are everywhere. They're everywhere. So much so that we as children of God are to proceed through this world with great, great caution. Because there are venomous vipers everywhere. And they are lying in wait to latch on and to fill you with their venom. To kill you. And so you'd better be careful. You better be careful what wood piles you go scurrying around in. You better be careful where you play. You better be careful where you go. Because I'm telling you, there's venomous vipers everywhere. And along the way, you can expect to come into contact with some of these vipers. They can strike very rapidly. They strike with great hostility, latching on and filling you with their deadly venom, causing you spiritual breathing problems, causing you spiritual heart failure, and rendering you spiritually useless. Again, these venomous vipers can be lurking almost anywhere, and they can latch on suddenly and without warning. They are of great variety. As Paul was gathering wood, casting it on the fire, there came a viper out of that heat and fastened on his hands. These venomous vipers can lurk in the words of others. They can lurk in the actions of others. The devil can use the venomous words and the venomous actions of another to get you to swell. To get you to swell with anger. Many times folks will say something and you just start to swell with anger. Venom. It's venom. Better be careful. These words and actions of others can cause you to swell with hatred. Can cause you to swell with bitterness. Can cause you to swell with envy. And viper. Or strife. Do not allow the venom of someone's words or actions to fill you with poison. Because they will. If you allow it to happen. When the viper fastened on his hand, we read that Paul shook off, notice what it says, he shook off the beast. That has the implication of a savage monster. Is it in the garden a snake? This is a beast. This is something that will kill you. And Paul aggressively shook it off. He didn't just have a little wave of the hand. He aggressively shook off the viper. It wasn't, "Will you please remove your fangs from my skin?" He aggressively shook off the viper. He took aggression against that venomous snake. And when anger and hatred and bitterness and envy grabs hold of you and fastens upon you, you had better shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off aggressively. Because that venom will kill you. That venom will ruin you. Well, I have a right. I have a right to be bitter. I'm telling you, it'll ruin you. Even if you think you have a right, it will destroy you. It is like venom. So we have to aggressively shake it off. Do not allow the words, the actions, and may I say, or the perceived actions of others, inject their lethal, deadly, threatening, injurious venom into your life. And that's what happens. Paul shook it off. And anytime anger begins to fill us, and hatred and bitterness and envy and strife, shake it off. Shake it off with a determination. I'm not going to allow this to poison me. I'm not going to allow this venom to render me useless. I'm going to shake it off. And that's what we need to do. I'm not going to allow this to stop me in my spiritual journey. And many have been stopped dead in their tracks because of bitterness and anger. They're not going to go anywhere spiritually because they've allowed the venom to fill them. Shake it off. Shake it off. It was as Paul was gathering the wood and casting it on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. These venomous vipers lurk in the woodpiles. Lurk in the woodpiles of circumstances. And they can strike very suddenly and they can latch on very quickly. And with great preciseness, deadly speed, without any warning whatsoever. In the woodpiles of circumstances, there is the viper with the venom of discouragement. Discouragement is a venom. It'll ruin you. It will render you useless. And in the woodpile of circumstances, discouragement can latch onto us, but we need to determine in our heart and mind, I may be broken. I may be wounded. I may have sorrow and I may be confused. I may be struggling. But I am not going to allow the devil to poison my life with discouragement. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'm going to shake it off. Shake it off. Get rid of that thing. Don't live with it. Don't play with it. Don't coddle it. And that's what many do. They're discouraged and they want to keep on being discouraged. They coddle that thing. They feed that thing. They nurture that thing. It's venom. Shake it off. Shake it off. And do so aggressively. In the woodpile of circumstances, there is the viper filled with the venom of disappointment. And it will at times grab a hold of our lives. We are so disappointed. It could be disappointment in another individual. It can be disappointment in the way things turned out. It could even be disappointment with yourself. But disappointment is like a venom. It is like a venom. And though you feel you've been let down, and though you feel frustrated, you need to determine, I am going to make it. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to allow this to poison my life. I'm not going to allow this to render me spiritually ineffective. And shake it off. Shake it off. Shake off the disappointment. Don't go home and sit down and feed it more and more and more and keep on feeding it and say, oh, I don't know how they could have done this. How could they have done this to me? And just feed that thing. It's venom. It'll destroy you. So when disappointment sets in, you'd better shake it off. Shake it off. The woodpile of circumstances. There is the venom of worry. There is the venom of fretfulness, which can latch on. And when it latches on, it causes great agitation. It causes great confusion. And when that viper latches on, you had better shake it off. In the woodpile of circumstances, there's the viper of doubt. There is the viper of unbelief. Filling the life with torment. Filling the life with distress. You know how many of God's people's lives are filled with torment simply because they refuse to believe? Simply because of unbelief. We need to realize that these vipers can get a hold of us at any time. They can get a hold of us at any place. We could be sitting in church and all of a sudden a viper latches on to our hand. And you had better shake it off. You'd better shake it off right there. Because if you don't, it's going to ruin you. It's going to cause torment in your life. It's going to cause distress in your life. No matter where you go, the viper can latch on at any time. So as Paul was gathering the wood and casting on the fire, came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. These venomous vipers can lurk in the wood piles of pride and self-righteousness. The very moment. You know, somebody out of kindness, they might be saying, oh, you really did a good job there, and just go on and on and on about you. You better be careful. You listen to that. You better be careful because the viper of pride will grab hold. You say, you know, you're right. I am pretty good. And pretty soon, the viper of pride begin to fill you with venom. And you'll be ruined. Fill you with self-righteousness. Venomous vipers lurked in the wood piles of carnality. They latch on with their fangs and inject the venom of fleshly and human reasoning. And human reasoning many times is nothing but venom that will paralyze and disable its victim, rendering them spiritually powerless. So whenever that viper strikes, shake it off. Shake it off. In the wood piles of man's philosophies, there are a lot of vipers. A lot of venom in the philosophies of man. In the wood piles of humanism, those wood piles are filled with vipers. You better be careful what wood pile you play around with. You better be careful where you go. In the wood piles of human opinion, there's vipers there. And oh, how many times people will call everybody they can think of, email them, text them, whatever you do, and want their opinion on everything. I'm telling you, you better be careful. There's a lot of vipers in human opinions. And they'll latch on. They'll latch on. Wood piles of education. There's some vipers there. I'm not saying it's wrong to be educated. I'd rather be educated than ignorant. But I'm telling you, there's vipers in education. There's also vipers in ignorance. But there's vipers everywhere. There are vipers in the wood piles of so-called success. Better be careful. A lot of vipers in success. The world's view of success. The wood piles of career. Better be careful. Those wood piles are filled with vipers. And the wood piles of entertainment, filled with vipers. filled with vipers that will latch on and inject their venom into your brain, into your mind. Vipers. The wood piles of worldly companionship. A lot of venomous vipers ready to strike with numbing potency. With the emphasis on numbing. A lot of God's people today are numb because they've been injected with venom. They've been playing around with vipers. They've got vipers hanging on all around them, and they will not shake them off. And the wood piles of drink, wood piles of drugs, there are venomous vipers ready to strike with immobilizing velocity. Notice in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verses 31 and verse 32. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent. There's vipers there. At last it latches on and fills you with venom. It will destroy your life. You'd better be careful what wood piles you go playing in. You better be careful what wood piles you go dabbling in, because there's vipers everywhere. In the wood piles of temptation, there are many venomous vipers ready to strike with destructive velocity and accuracy. In the wood piles of sinful lust, there lurks many, many a viper. Oh, you look at things and you say, oh, it doesn't affect me. You're ignorant. In the wood piles of lust, it is loaded with vipers. When that lust takes hold, you'd better shake it off. You'd better do everything in your power to get rid of that thing, because it'll ruin you. It'll destroy you. We must be on guard against all the venomous attacks, determined and resolved that I am not going to allow Satan, I am not going to allow the world or my own sinful flesh to inject their venom into my life, rendering me spiritually useless. I'm not going to allow it to happen. When the vipers latch on, shake it off. Shake it off. Oh, today we have many that are guilty of coddling vipers. That viper will latch on and they'll just pet it as if it's harmless. Shake it off. Shake it off into the fire, as Paul did. In other words, destroy the thing. Destroy it. Because if you don't destroy it, it will destroy you. So shake it off. In closing, when the venomous vipers strike with their swift and deadly force, that becomes, right then, a moment of crisis. You are now in a crisis. And when the islanders saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they were certain, because they'd seen others. They were certain that Paul would swell and fall down dead. But Paul did not allow that destructive, life-ruining, life-wasting viper to stay attached to his hand. He shook it off. Now, if a viper attaches itself in your hand, if you've got any sense at all, you're going to get that thing off. You're not going to just let it hang there. But yet, that's exactly what we do spiritually. We carry the thing around everywhere we go. So I ask you today, are there any venomous vipers that have fastened to you, that are hanging upon you right now? Shake them off. Shake them off. Get rid of them. Now, I believe Paul didn't even panic. Now, if a snake bites my hand, I'm going to panic. If I see a snake, I'm going to panic. But I don't believe Paul panicked at all, because Paul had complete faith. God already told him, you're going all the way to Rome. You're not going to lose your life. So he knew that snake wasn't going to hurt him. He shook it off. And he did so very, very calmly. But we need to shake them off, realizing the effect that they can have upon our lives. Realizing that they can kill us and ruin our lives. If you have any vipers today, shake them off. Be careful around the wood piles. There's vipers everywhere. They're everywhere. You be careful. Don't you ever think, I'm experienced. I'm experienced. That'll never happen to me. That's the very attitude it will happen to. Shake it off. Whenever, and we all experience the vipers attacking, latching on, we all experience those times. But it's what we do. It's how we react at that time that determines everything. Are we just going to carry that thing around with us the rest of the day? Or are we going to shake it off? Shake it off clean. Take aggression. This is no time to be passive. When a viper strikes, it's no time to be passive. It's no time to be gentle. It's time to shake it off. And the time has come when we need to shake off the vipers. Get rid of that venom. Again, the devil can use all kinds of things to cause us to swell with venom. All kinds of things. So-and-so said something 10 years ago, and I never have forgotten it, they'll say. Well, what they said, they'll give an account of. The fact that you've never gotten over it, you'll give an account for. Amen. So, shake it off. Shake it off. And press forward. Amen. And keep going. Brother Larry, if you...